As a girl, I love this.
Now, come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up, y'all.
N-E-R-D up. N-E-R-D up.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson.
Nerd up.
Welcome to another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson along with
Eric Billingsley.
Tim Mattson.
All right, so we got the guys here. Well, okay, we're missing Tim. Isaac's in there claiming he has strep throat. I think it's just use of his voice for the opening weekend of Aida. I hope it's not strep because I don't need it.
So I say, what are they eating?
Well, a bunch of Egyptian stuff.
Oh, okay. That sounds tasty.
So, his opening weekend, he, of course, did a great job as usual, you know, but I may be a little biased. I saw two of the shows, two of the performances. I always like to go to opening night, and then I also went the second night. It was all right. You know, it's community theater, college theater slash community theater.
I'm glad he's still active in that. That's cool.
Yeah. And the thing about Lincoln Trail, all they do is musicals. Otherwise, I'd be auditioning, too, because he's got that bug. That bug's bit me since he's been doing this. And I'm like, oh, but they only do musicals, and I can't sing, and I don't want to inflict that upon anyone. So I will not. Well, what have you guys been doing? We haven't talked to you for a while. Tim, let's talk to you. We haven't heard from you in a long time.
Guys, it's been a hot minute since I've been around. I've been busy with a couple projects. I did yet another production of The Odd Couple in a different town. So That's over the last 3 years. There has not been a project that I've done that hasn't been directly related to The Odd Couple in some way or another.
So are you becoming like the permanent, which one are you becoming, Oscar or Felix?
I'm starting to work my way around the poker table. I've been Oscar, I've been Murray, and I just was Speed in the production. So I just got two more guys to play before I have to put on a dress.
And what's holding you back on that?
I don't know. I'd have to be one of the Pigeon Sisters. Yeah, it was a really good production. I worked for the Temple Theater down in Sanford, North Carolina. Great little house. Used to be a vaudeville theater. It's right next to the railroad tracks.
Oh, wow.
And they used to bring vaudeville acts would come in on the train and get off right there and perform in the theater.
That
very cool, old school place. Very nice.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. Just the atmosphere alone, I imagine, is great.
Yeah, it's not like a place that's been converted. It was originally supposed to be a theater, so it's got a nice fly space. It's got a balcony, quite a bit of seating. The big news while I was down there, though, is they got hit with an embezzlement.
Oh,
so a dude that worked for them embezzled $150,000 from the theater.
Ouch.
And yeah, exactly. And if that hadn't been caught as quickly as it was, that could have been the end of them. Thankfully, they were able to alert the police and they arrested the dude and got most of that money back. So they were very lucky.
All right. So you say $100,000+ was embezzled, and yet they still managed to keep, in other words, they got it back, or how'd that go?
Yes. Yeah, they managed to recoup all of it, except for maybe about $12,000 that they ended up not getting back.
Wow.
But that was a former employee of theirs that was cooking the books and ran off with the monies. So they were very, very lucky.
Well, it was close to a train, so he could have hopped on a train, you know, at any time.
I know.
runaway
hobo style.
Yeah, so what else you been doing? I understand that you kind of given up on movies or theater, going to the movie theater, because you've got this, of course, your big, huge home theater. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I've been spending a little bit of time in that, watching a lot of old classic films. I watched The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3 with that Walter Matthau film. Not the old one, not the new one. just finished watching Torah, Torah, Torah.
Oh, wow.
I watched The Old Dark House, which is an old Boris Karloff film, which is really actually pretty fun. Very expressionist looking, lots of dark shadows and stuff. And the Cronenberg film, Scanners, which I was not allowed to watch when I was a kid.
What?
Yeah, can't imagine why.
Other than that first opening sequence, it's pretty tame, though. It's, well, I take it back. The final battle is a little bloody.
Yeah.
It is a little bit, but man, nothing tops that. You're right. The exploding head sequence is definitely the main selling point of the film. It's a pretty good film altogether, but I expected a lot more exploding heads. I was a little disappointed.
Yeah. I love the movie, but I would have liked to have seen a few more exploding heads myself.
Yeah.
You know, there are two iconic films from my past that I will watch over and over again any chance I get. One of them is Scanners, and the other one is like around 1976, 77, somewhere around in there. A movie called Bug, where basically earthquake opens up and these bugs come up and they can start fire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a super cheesy movie, but it's fun. But Scanners is on my list. I'll watch it anytime it comes on. If I see it somewhere, I'll be watching it. So,
well, it was really cool. I have the Criterion edition of it, and it has his very first feature-length film on it as well, which is very, very artsy. I mean, it's pretty impenetrable, but it does deal with kind of the same types of thing, telepathy and people being experimented on. And so it really, his first feature length project was definitely the seed that eventually turned into Scanners.
I see. Now, didn't he do Naked Lunch? Was that Cronenberg?
Yeah.
He's just a bizarre fellow.
He's like in my top five directors.
Is that right? I can see why. Pretty got a good visualization on every film I've seen by him that I know of. Anyway, man, I can't believe this. You guys have been almost antisocial.
When has that ever happened? Gosh.
but you are still doing some cool things, I guess. So. But let me tell you guys, you're missing out on a few things. I'll be talking about those here in a little bit. But Eric. What have you been? Now, I pretty much know what you've been doing because I've been watching your Facebook feed and I see.
Eric's got one of the coolest jobs ever.
Right? So, Eric, looking at your Facebook feed, looks like you're busy watching movies.
A lot of movies, yeah. I get in these, I don't know, the moods or what you want to call it, for example, I'll get really heavy into gaming. I won't watch any movies or very few movies while I'm in those phases. I just want to keep gaming. But then I get burnt out on that, and then I go on to, well, I used to, TV shows, but I haven't watched a TV show in forever. So now I've been stuck in this movie phase for months now. Just literally every spare minute, I've got something in my Blu-ray player that I'm watching, and a lot of it's stuff that I've never seen before. Now, it's not a nerdy movie by any stretch of the imagination, but I just for the first time saw Point Blank after a friend recommended it to me. And if you haven't seen Point Blank with Lee Marvin, then you've never seen a real badass mofo. you got to see this movie. And it's so stylistic.
I want to know, does Lee Marvin jump out of the plane before or after Keanu? And because that's my favorite part.
Swayze,
not Kilmer. Sorry. Yeah.
But that was a lot of fun. I really love that movie. In fact, I'll probably watch it again here soon.
Now, when did that one come out, Point Blank?
It was mid-late 60s, I believe.
Okay. Wow. I didn't realize Keanu was that old.
But mostly what I've been watching is a lot of Hammer horror films. Now, I grew up on a steady diet of nothing but horror. Mm-hmm. My earliest memories of watching movies at all was sitting in front of the TV on Friday nights. And those of you who are from this area or long ago, on Friday nights, WSIU would show some monster chiller horror theater with Irv Copey. I forgot what the exact name was. Irv Copey, yep. And I never missed it. I'd always, I'd always be tuned in. I'd usually fall asleep as a kid in front of the TV set and have nightmares, but I loved it. And but all these, all these years and all these horror films that I've been watching, and I've, since then, obviously expanded to a lot more eclectic taste in films. But I still love my horror films. And I didn't realize what a huge blind spot that I had in my horror movie experience as far as Hammer films. I think I maybe saw one or two before and I never really paid that much attention. But these movies are freaking amazing. I mean, Terrence Fisher, there's some other great directors in there. Jimmy Sangster was like their main writer for years. great writer. Nigel Neal wrote the Quatermass and a few other stories for them. He's an amazing writer. Just, I mean, the quality of these productions is out of this world. Even when they take a movie like The Shadow of the Cat, which I just watched recently, and they basically shot it on the same set that they shot Curse of the Werewolf.
What got you into this Hammer Films? I got to know this. What got you into this in the first place?
Well, I'm in a lot of Facebook groups and forums that are devoted to movies in general, and some of them are just horror movies, and some of them are very, very specific niche horror films. Like, there are many groups out there that all they're about are Hammer horror films. If you bring up another film, you might get booted out of the group. They're that focused.
Oh, wow.
Which is fine. I mean, like, that's what Facebook is for. You've got a bazillion groups out there. You're going to find at least a few that, you know, are exactly your forte or whatever you're into. Mm-hmm. But anyway, with these groups, people were talking about about some of these movies like Dracula or Horror of Dracula, which is what we called it since we already had a Dracula. And that's the other thing. It gets very mixed up because they rename a lot of the movies when they bring them over to the U.S. But, I mean, Oliver Reed got his start mostly with Hammer Films. And every time he's in a film, he's amazing. I love that guy. There's so much to watch and so much good stuff. I've only seen maybe one or two movies that were so-so. And I'm not seeing a single bad one yet. And I've been cramming these things. I started with, like, the Quatermass movies because that's really the golden era of Hammer. The golden era of Hammer horror pretty much started with Quatermass, which is really more science fiction than horror, but we won't quibble. I've been watching everything forward from there, trying to be as chronological as possible. But some of the stuff's not available. Some of it's, you know, long gone. Most of it's still available, but I have to spend a buttload of money on imports.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to ask you here, is like, I've seen your postings before. I haven't seen them as much lately, so I'm guessing you got caught up, but you would be ordering these box sets of all these films and stuff. Do you have time in your lifetime to watch all these?
No, actually, that's something I've discussed with other fanatics of films and collectors online. It's like, if I sat down and watched every movie that I've got in my collection, I would probably die before I could get to the end of it. I have that many movies.
Wow.
That's one of the things that's starting to distress me, is after turning 50, it's it's dawning on me that I'm never going to be able to see all the things.
Right.
Yep. Well, you know, we're old, so. But yeah, that's one of the things that I was sitting there, I'm like, man, I don't have time to go back and watch all this older stuff. There's so much new stuff here.
But see, the new stuff, I'm almost to the exact opposite. I have to get some really good recommendations from people whose opinions I really, really trust before I'll spend time.
Or money.
Yeah, I agree. I know what he's saying, and I 100% am on board with that. I've kind of like shied away from all the new stuff, other than I definitely am going to go see Black Panther. I just, so many of the new films, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe in a couple of years, if it's still a film that people think is good, then maybe I'll jump on it. I don't feel the need to feel like up to date.
Right. Well, that's one of the things with, you know, every time there's a new release each weekend, I look at the theater listings and I'm like, oh, okay, I want to go see that. Why not? And some of them I don't really want to see, but I'm curious. Like this weekend, I went and saw Wrinkle in Time. And
how was it?
It's fun to watch. My wife read the book, and she said they pretty much butchered the book. I never got to read the book, but it's a great, visually it's a very nice movie. And the girl that they got to play the lead, she's just so good. I'm just so surprised that someone that young is that good. I mean, really, she's got moments where it's like, wow. But Oprah cannot act.
That's a shame. That's a shame. I know that is a highly regarded series, or a book. I mean,
right.
But I never read it. So I just never got into it.
No. I read it multiple times when I was a kid, and when I first saw the trailer, I didn't recognize it. Even after they gave the name of it, I was like, I don't think this is the story that I read.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it has nothing to do with with you know the casting where you know the, where they're casting a lot of African Americans, I'm glad. I'm overjoyed that we're starting to see movies like that in the mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about how interesting and cool it is that the number one and number two box office hits are directed by and starring a largely a cast of people of color.
Awesome.
That's something you don't see every day.
Black Panther, and what was the other one?
Wrinkle in Time. It's number one.
Yeah, you're right. It is a big seller. That's right. I didn't think of that.
And I'm not going to go into a review of it because I'm sure you guys have already talked about it in and out. But I liked Black Panther, but it was still a little on the formulaic side to me, and the village looked like it basically looked like Thor's home planet.
Yeah, Asgard.
It looks like Asgard with a little more vegetation and a little more water. I'm getting a little tired of the formulaic stuff, and I'm really hoping the trailer for Avengers 2 looks real, or Avengers 2 for the Infinity War looks amazing. And I'm hoping that they're going to try and do something different because it's getting a little old now. But what I enjoyed more than the actual movie of Black Panther is the reaction to it and the kind of chain reaction that's come from it.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not just that. It's you know, I really say that it started with Get Out, which I dearly loved, and I was so happy. They got a best writing, right?
Best screenplay.
Yeah. There's good stuff coming, and people are turning out in droves to see it. So, you know, these rich assholes in Hollywood that you know are completely out of touch, they're probably, you know, scratching their heads. It's like, I don't get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Who would have thought it? A large market that doesn't get things suddenly wants to watch things?
Yeah.
I mean, go figure.
There's a reason those Tyler Perry movies are you know sell so well, and it's not because they're good.
No, it's because there isn't anything else.
Right. I've tried to watch Tyler Perry movies, and it's like, yeah. And one other thing, I mean, look at last year. We had Wonder Woman, you know, a big, good, strong female lead that took the world by storm, if you will.
And Moonlight, best winning picture.
Yeah.
Winning best picture last year.
Yep.
And which featured Mahershala Ali as a supporting actor.
Yep.
About gay life and a black man who is gay. I mean, that's definitely aggressive.
Yeah, that's what it is. We're hitting minorities now, or you know, actually, you know, paying attention to them in the movie and industry. So yeah, that's a good thing.
Have you guys both seen The Shape of Water? If you haven't,
not yet.
Put it at the top of your list. It actually just came out on Blu-ray, so you can actually go rent it tonight if you want.
Well, I saw a review on Amazon that it made me not want to see it. The review was titled, "How come you don't see the fish dick?"
Oh, I saw that. I saw that. It really is a just beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful inside and out, and it's just I love the film, and it has something. It's so timely. I'm not going to go into any details in case anyone hasn't seen it, but all of the main characters in this movie are people who were disenfranchised and segregated from society in this era, which would have been like the, I guess, late 50s.
Oh.
Right.
The main character is mute, and she's considered by some of her superiors to be, you know, basically a moron. That her best friend is, what is her name? Octavia Spencer? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then the third of the triumvirate is what is the actor's name? It's going to drive me crazy now. Really good actor. He's in a lot of stuff, and he plays a gay man who's flirting with this young guy that he thinks is interested in him, and a horrible thing happens. But anyway, these three people who are disenfranchised by society, they make up the main characters of this movie. And of course, the fish man, you can't get much more separate
from
society than the gill man. It really is just, I mean, it's what's his name? Roger Deakins shot this, and Roger Deakins is one of the best damn cinematographers ever. And he should have 20 Oscars on his shelf, and he doesn't. But the photography's gorgeous, the lighting's gorgeous, costumes. I have nothing to complain about that movie. And anyone out there listening to this, if you're on the fence, go see it or at least go rent it. You're going to enjoy it a lot more if you see it on the big screen. But at least see it on Blu-ray if you can. It's an amazing film.
Well, you know, when it came out, it was only here in our little area of the world for a week.
And, yeah, same here.
Yeah, and when it came out, I was like trying to get people to go with me. Nobody had the interest to see it, and I wanted to go see it. And then next thing I know, it's gone. I'm like, crap.
This is the movie that's really, you know, I mean, I've always loved Del Toro ever since I saw the movie Kronos years and years and years ago. And my favorite it will always be The Devil's Backbone. I love that movie to death. But this movie kind of reminded me, not even really so much in style, I guess a little bit, but this seemed more like he was almost like a Jean-Pierre Jeunet feel to it.
It wouldn't help. We're uncultured swine. We wouldn't get his reference. I know, right?
He started speaking French.
Well, yeah, Jean Genet doesn't sound American to me.
Wasn't he captain of the Enterprise? Well, like I told you guys, it's on my list, so I definitely want to see that movie. So
yeah, absolutely. That is something.
Like we said while you were gone there, Eric, is that you started speaking French. We just... You lost us.
Yeah. Well, you guys have seen at least one of those, Delicatessen or Amelie, right? I mean, they were huge even in the U.S.
I think I saw that one.
I have Delicatessen, but I haven't watched it yet.
Uh-huh. Oh, watch it. Both of those movies are just so much fun and just beautifully photographed. But I was going to say that that's one of the things that I'm wanting to bring back where I've recently put one of the things that that I've added to my schedule is I'm on a selection board for a revival theater that we just started up at the old Varsity in Carmondale. Now the Varsity,
that's what I wanted to hear you talk about. Is that's something really cool?
Yeah,
that you seem really proud of.
Yeah, I am, and I'm trying to, you know, there are other people on the committee, and I'm just like throwing out suggestions left and right, and I need to, you know, probably hold back a little bit. But it's in the Varsity Center where we've been doing plays for at least the last 10 or 12 years. And then, you know, a while back, they also started having art gallery shows there. Mm-hmm. And then they started would show like student films and stuff in the main auditorium. I don't think that the setup was that great. But finally, they got the money from the city to build, to renovate one of the upstairs theaters. I mean, you guys remember the Varsity, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you had I called it the puppet theater because there's that little cinema upstairs, but it's actually a bigger screen. It looks bigger. When you're watching the movie on it, it feels bigger than it actually is.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what we're using. Any nights that, you know, where there's not something else going on, and we have a night that we can program. We're sticking in. We're trying to make it thematic when, if possible, for April 20th. Our film will be The Big Lebowski, and that will be meaningful to certain people in our listening audience. But yeah, I thought that was a great selection.
Nice.
I don't know if this is something you can talk about or not, because I don't know what the rules are regarding this. How expensive is it to get the rights to screen a film like
that? You would be surprised at how cheaply, especially back catalog films. The newer the film usually is more expensive, although we showed Get Out just like a couple of weeks ago, and they let us have it. I think the rental fee was $275.
Wow.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. It's much cheaper than I thought it would be. But there are other movies like our director was looking into, but it was an older film and it was, but they wanted like $750 for it. And we're like, what? I don't know how they price these things.
Interesting. But
this has always been like a dream of mine to program a revival cinema. And I'm trying to keep my taste at least initially towards the mainstream because I have,
Don't freak them out. Illinois. Keep it in, man. Keep it in your pants.
So you lost him again.
I drove him away. I know some of the films he would probably like to pick probably would not play very well.
Right. Yeah.
One of the films I really want to screen because I haven't seen it in a long time and it's not available in high definition in any format. It's a Cronenberg film called Crash. And I don't know if you guys remember or heard about it.
Yeah.
Very controversial for its time, and I'd say it would still be somewhat controversial.
Yeah.
But I'm the type of person, all I can think is, like, if I was, you know, in Southern Illinois and I saw that, oh my God, they're showing Cronenberg's Crash. That's a movie that was made back like in 96 or 97 and hasn't been seen since. I would be standing in line 2 hours ahead of time. But I know not everyone's like me, so I'm trying to, you know, start off at the beginning with more general selections. Like, we're showing Blues Brothers coming up next, I believe.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, and it's on some sort of anniversary. I don't know if it's an anniversary of the film or whatever. But, yeah, there's just so many movies I would love to program there. But
well, I think like October should be Hammer Horror all October.
Well, we are going to fill the slots in October with horror films. I don't know if I can sell them on any Hammer Horror films or not, but
maybe you can sell them on MC Hammer films. You know, can't touch them.
Please, don't. Please, Hammer, don't hurt them.
Well, I'm gonna jump in here and do a shameless plug for a film starring a classmate of mine that's opening this Friday in theaters and on demand as well. You can get it through iTunes and all that. It's called Shifting Gears. It's a family movie about racing, as you might imagine being here in the South. It's about racing and about families, and looks to be pretty funny. So my buddy Keith Harris is in that. So I thought I'd just throw a plug out there for that. Looking forward to that this Friday.
And your check will be in the mail.
The check will be in the mail. Nah, it's nothing, not sponsored or anything like that. He's one of the hardest working dudes that I know. He's really paid his dues. He's probably the hardest working guy out of our acting class. I mean, compared to me, definitely. I mean, he's way, Jesus, I'm way, way lazier than he is, but, he's a very familiar face. I mean, you've seen him on The Walking Dead.
I remember you talking about that before. Okay.
Yeah. When you see his face, you'll probably recognize it because you've seen it everywhere.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so Shifting Gears?
Shifting Gears.
All right. I'm going to put that on my list. You know, I like to try anything once.
Yeah. Yep. I'll actually make a pilgrimage from my hermitage here out into the daylight to go and watch his film on Friday.
Okay. Well, you did say it's on demand. I mean, I'm surprised.
I know. But I gotta be supportive.
Real quick here, I wanted to mention something that, I mean, when Tim Coker gets back on to join us, we'll probably talk more detail on this. But two things, actually. One of them Tim will join us on. But the first one is Jessica Jones on Netflix, of course. This season of Jessica Jones was just so cool. I don't know what it was, but... I was trying to figure out what they're going to do with her, you know, who the bad guy was going to be and all this. I'm like, well, wow, where are they going to take the story? It really surprised me. I'm not giving away any spoilers in case somebody wants to watch it. But just to say the bad guy is a bad gal. So the bad gal turns out to be her mother. So just letting everybody know, I ruined it. I ruined the first two episodes for you out of 13. But it's really good. Again, after losing it on the Iron Fist series, they've made up for it with this one. So just really good.
I was going to say, ever since he came along and peed in the pool, I haven't really been itching to get in there again.
Well, I don't know if you heard from Tim Coker was actually posted online that he watched the Punisher.
Yeah, I did too.
Series. And said it was really good, actually. And I still need to see that, and I still need to see Jessica Jones, second season.
We had a good talk about the Punisher series, but yeah, they surprised me. Because I think Tim Mattson, I think you, well, there's only one Tim with us tonight. So anyway, Tim, I think you were the one that said, why do we need him? Or something like that.
He's one of the characters that I feel like they could just erase from existence and improve everything.
Yeah.
Because I really don't feel like he has much of a place. I don't feel like he has much to say. I just think he came along in an era where it was all about who has the biggest gun. And I just don't feel it. I don't find him compelling. I would like to be proved wrong. And apparently this miniseries is something that could prove me wrong. So I think I'm probably going to go back and watch it.
Yeah, it just may. One of the things, is it relevant, you know, to now? Well, that's answered because all the veterans coming over with post-traumatic stress and all this stuff, it really focuses on that, and it makes Frank Castle actually worth watching and saying, oh, so that's what's going on. I mean, they did a pretty interesting storyline with it, and it's nothing from the comics that I've ever read, but they really updated it and made it relevant to today's time. So, yeah, it's worth a check. Plus, they got that guy, I can't remember his name now, darn it, the guy in the comics that was his assistant with the computers and everything. Shoot, I can't remember his name. But anyway, they bring him into it, so they brought some old characters. But yeah, Punisher was pretty darn good. Jessica Jones was really good. Who knows what's going to happen next? But what I was expecting, and maybe they're still going to do this, but the Infinity War movie, I was expecting these ground level heroes to be in that somewhere, and nowhere on the trailer do they show those. So
they might. I would love for them to make cameos too. I'm not holding my breath for it though.
Right.
No. Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure that they see those as entirely separate properties.
Well, but I heard they're part of the universe that Marvel Cinematic is recognizing them as characters in the universe. We'll see.
Yeah, but you're not going to see Thor on a Daredevil show.
Right.
And you're not going to see Daredevil in Infinity War. There's just it'll never happen. It'll just never happen.
One thing about the Punisher, which I definitely want to see, especially since I know Tim Coker hated the character and had no desire, and then he saw the series and raved about it. So I was like, okay, well.
That carries a lot of weight.
Yeah, if Tim Coker likes it, I mean, seriously, he was like, I don't want to say most adamant about it, not liking it, but he definitely, didn't care for the character.
That's safe to say.
Yeah. And I think, and I'll tell you what, I want to hear what you say, Tim, if you ever get to watch it, because I would love to hear what you have to say about it, because I know you definitely didn't care for him.
He definitely does not turn my credit.
Yeah. And so to turn Tim Coker around like that, that would
be awesome. What I would say about the character of the Punisher, and there are other characters like the Punisher in DC and in Marvel and almost any superhero comics, that you're going to have a character who is there's that chart of lawful evil, lawful good. He's the characters that that can go either way, like Bucky, and I think Bucky is eventually going to be Captain America, but I think we're going to see maybe some shifting. I don't think that he's 100% back to normal, but maybe I'm wrong. But those characters, though, that are kind of cross the line. When I read the graphic novel for Civil War, the Punisher was in some of those issues, and a lot of the other superheroes that were like, no, I'm not working with him. He's he's a loose cannon. But he was able to accomplish something that none of the other characters were able to do. And then, there was a bad guy shows up or whatever, and, Punisher shoots him dead, and Peter Parker and the rest immediately kick him out. But I like that type of character, because everything otherwise, I would never, unless there was some sort of brain ray that turned Captain America into evil Captain America, I'm never going to believe that Captain America or most of the Avengers would ever slip anywhere near that line. But to have characters within the story that do flow back and forth over that line makes the narrative interesting, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. In fact, one of the things you mentioned, Peter Parker, he's pretty much always an enemy whenever he shows up in a Spider-Man comic. But one nice thing is Jessica Jones and Peter Parker have teamed up a few times. So, there's an opposite running there.
I did. I think I read one of those issues.
So it's always interesting to hear that. But, I don't know. It's worth watch, but it's like, it's like a comic book that doesn't really fit in with anything else. It's out here off on the side. Put that on your top shelf. You might read it later. But you at least have to have read it once, And it's just one of those. It really doesn't have anything to do with the canon of the rest of the Marvel world. But hey, it's kind of interesting, and that's the way I see it. This definitely is. It's kind of interesting.
Well, are you talking about the series, the Civil War series, ran across multiple titles and You know, it was everywhere. Even, you know, and Jessica Jones and the street level, the Defenders, it was, they were in the story as well. Actually, there was, there was a whole sub story of, I don't know how many issues it was because I read it in a graphic novel.
Right.
But they are, you know, they do their own thing and do play their part in the Civil War story. Now, they didn't show up, obviously, in the movie.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that maybe they might find some room for them, if not in this this first half of the Infinity Gauntlet, maybe in
Infinity Gauntlet 2, Electric
Boogaloo. Or actually, you know what? I'm actually kind of curious as to what they're going to do after Infinity Gauntlet. They've been building up to this all these years, and then what happens next? You know, it's like,
I gotta be honest when I say that. I think that might be my signal to get off the train. In all seriousness, I feel like they've accomplished such a massive task of creating a universe building on like so many films leading up to this one point.
Right.
And after this point, you know, I don't want to see somebody else being Iron Man. I don't want to see someone else being Captain. But eventually these actors and actresses are going to want to do other things and not have to do these roles anymore. So I kind of feel like Infinity Wars may be my cue. Okay, this is your end. You don't have to watch it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I'm curious about, you know, Captain Marvel, a few others, but I think they're just going to be, okay, standalone movies maybe even at that point.
But the trailer, the new trailer that just came out, it's hard not to get psyched up about it. But as I told my friend, he kept saying, I didn't watch it till yesterday. And he's like, dude, you got to see the trailer. Because he's just nuts about the MCU movies. And I am too. But I've dampened a little. My enthusiasm has dampened a little with the same kind of formula being used over and over again.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say the trailer made you dampen a little.
well, that too.
It made me moist.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, it's hard not to get psyched for the Infinity War with that trailer.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you I know, just hope, being a comic book fan from, I mean, gosh, I think from the, I think 73 was when I picked up my first comic book, 1973, and a bit of
Richie being, Rich, wasn't it?
No, actually, it was Fantastic Four. but that being my first comic book ever. And from then on, I, you know, all comic books, got my favorites, went into collecting for a while, sold off my collection, and still being a fan and everything else, seeing that Infinity War trailer with all these freaking heroes that I've loved, just kicking butt. I mean, Spider-Man alone made me cry. I mean, when they show him in the trailers, it's just, wow. And it's just, I mean, that's why I'm feeling that is because all these years reading it in a book, finally it's on the big screen, you know? So
it is exciting. Definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, this is going to be an interesting one. Should be fun. And, we should have some fun with it.
I mean, Sony was able to find an agreement with MCU. Why the hell can't Fox?
I know, right? We need X-Men in there.
Yeah. And yeah.
Do we really?
A few. I mean, I'd love to get Professor X in there. He's always been my favorite.
I'm not convinced that we need the X-Men in the MCU. Uh-huh. The one thing I think that we do need in the MCU is the Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Agreed there. Yeah.
And done right for a change.
Absolutely, because Fox has shown that they can make good X-Men films.
Yeah.
They can. They just can't make a Fantastic Four movie to save their lives.
Well, actually, you know, there's an X-Men film coming out this year with a Jean Grey, the Phoenix storyline. I'm curious how they're going to do that, because that's a pretty cool storyline that they came out with. But you're absolutely right. We need a Fantastic Four movie first. I would agree with that 100%. And then we're going to get those X-Men taken care of. Yeah, I had a whole list of movies that were coming out. Oh, darn it. I forgot to bring it in. I was going to talk about some of them. But it's just going to be a good year of movies, by the way, this year. I mean, really, look at all the ones that are coming out, and look at the ones that have come out already. I mean, wow.
Yeah, this summer is going to have a lot of blockbusters, more than the usual amount.
And with Black Panther doing as well as it did, Well, actually, did you hear that Infinity War's pre-sale of tickets has already beaten Black Panther?
What?
Yeah, pre-sale. Wow. So it's like, okay, it's going to be a big one. I wonder how big they can get with these movies.
I don't know, but that's a lot of money.
Yes. Someone's making some money.
I'm halfway considering maybe driving up to St. Louis again to see it in on an IMAX screen, but haven't decided yet. It's such a hassle, and I'd have to get my tickets weeks in advance. Otherwise, I'd be sitting up front.
Right.
But
that would be a great experience. That movie on IMAX would be a great experience, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, let me ask you this: I have actually been to the theater in the last year. So they've implemented some new things down here. I don't know if that's trickled down into where you guys are at or not. The seating is now reserved seating.
What?
At the movie theater. Yes.
Yeah, the AMC in Carbondale, the one in the strip mall there.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I hated seeing movies there. We called it the ghetto theater because it was just they just let it go to waste, and it was sticky floors. The upholstery on the chairs was all was from like 1960. But anyway, they finally got after they got competition at the mall, they opened up a brand new theater over there with stadium seating and blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. They did their own renovation, so now they have these chairs. They're electric. What's the word I'm looking for?
Recliners. Yeah.
It's amazing. I have to fight to stay awake sometimes. It has nothing to do with adult. But if you're laying flat out like that, it's very easy to fall asleep. I'm sure I'm not the only one, but it worked. It gets me out to see movies that I might not have gone to the theater to see otherwise, just because it's enjoyable and it's comfortable. Which is different from what my usual movie going experiences consist of.
They're so close to getting me to come back. They'd only have to do one more thing to get me back in the movie theaters.
What's that?
Stop letting other people in. That's the secret to getting me back.
Yeah.
The Tim Matson Theater. Oh, you already got that.
That's right. This theater is mine. I'm sorry. You're going to have to go to the next theater.
Sold out. Well, that's the thing. I like the move to have recliners and more comfortable seats in the theaters. But
agreed.
With the reserve seating part, I don't know about that.
Oh, I love that. I
absolutely do.
I don't want to have to get there an hour ahead just to be able to get a decent seat. I want to be able to pick my seat out and know exactly where I'm going to be sitting. And if I show up 5 minutes before the show starts, I can go straight to my seat and, voila, I love it.
Mm. Yeah, I got to say, F standing in line for an hour waiting for a big movie. That's for dummies.
Now, for some of the big movies, I can see that. But for the most part, I'm one of those, let's go see a movie tonight, guys. It's like, okay, there's a movie showing right now. Let's go. And so that reserved seating would kill me on that, because I'd always get stuck right there in the front row where nobody else wants to sit. Being movies on a whim with me, that kind of ruins it for me. Going to be a great year of movies. Comic book fans, it's going to be just like your dream right there all year long. There's going to be a whole bunch of Deadpool coming out. It looks great. They're bringing Cable in this. And, what's the guy playing Cable? What's his name? I forgot his name. it's going to kill me now. But anyway, he looks like he's going to just rock that role. Hey, that worked out. Rock and roll. And then, I don't know, it's just going to be a nice year of movies. Is there any movie in particular this year besides Avengers Infinity War that you guys are interested in seeing? Let's, Eric, we'll start with you.
I honestly can't think of anything right now that I'm, just like anticipating other than the Infinity War.
Hmm. What about you?
Ready Player One.
What was that?
Ready Player One.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. That's the one I was bringing up too. Yeah. And we're children of the 80s. I think that's why that really hits us somewhat. Well, not children, but children of the 80s. But last summer, Isaac, my wife, and me all read that book. And Isaac and I were just, comparing notes as we're reading it. And it's like, wow, this is so cool. And then he was telling me about the video gaming aspect of it that, he knew more about than I did. And then we talk about the 80s things, and it was really cool that we all, as a family, we were all discussing this book. Then out of nowhere, I saw a trailer for Ready Player One. I'm like, what? And I can't wait to see it. It looks beautiful. I don't know how.
Yeah, but if you read the book, you're going to be disappointed. That's just the way it always goes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm already disappointed because it all takes place in Ohio. And, you know, that's like halfway into the book that he moves there. So it's like, okay. Oh. Yeah. So it's going
to
be interesting.
Well, you got to make some concessions, unfortunately. But I'm ready to look at this as wholly separate. I'm not even requiring it to be beholden to the book.
Right.
It's Steven Spielberg shooting a film that is just chock full of 80s goodness. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm extremely curious to hear or read exactly how they were able to procure all of the rights to all these other characters from the different studios, different movies. How did that work? I mean, we can't even get the MCU can't even get their Fantastic Four and X-Men back.
But so Ready Player One.
So how is Ready Player One?
Iron Giant.
I'm
trying to think of all the. I mean, there's so many characters. Yeah, exactly. It should be. Hey, I guess maybe it's the timing thing. They're only in there for 10 seconds.
I'm excited, though. Trailer does look good.
Yeah.
I honestly thought that when I read the book, I'm like, this would make an amazing film, but it'll never get made.
Yeah. You know, I same here. Same here when I read it. I'm like, wow, how could they make this? You know, what is it? The world they go. Wow, it's good. My brain's not working tonight. Must be time to go to bed. But anyway, the world that they go into, the virtual world. Anyway, I'm just like, there's no way they can bring that to film. There's just no way. And looking at the video or the trailer, it's like, that looks pretty good. So yeah, that was going to be my surprise, Tim. You ruined it. I was going to say Ready Player One, but oh well. Well, it makes two of us anxious to see it, though, so that's good. It's going to be a good year of movies. We'll be talking back and forth. And I want to remind you guys, do everything you can to make it to Bloomington, Indiana, August 26th for the Indiana Toy and Comic Expo, because we're going to be featured. They want us to host a panel.
I can't believe they're having us.
I know, right? Apparently, they didn't read our rap sheet.
They've clearly never listened to this podcast.
But they're going to have a whole new podcasters row. Billy Cooper, the guy that runs this, he just last year he goes, "What do you think about a podcasters row?" And I'm like, "You know me, if I can put my podcast in there, I'll be there." And he goes, "Yeah." And he does a podcast himself about the expo. Several people around. It's like, okay, let's do it. And so here we are. Yeah, so I'm hoping you guys can do everything you can. Tim Coker, actually, he may be selling some artwork there.
Woo.
Yeah, he's got some really neat light boxes.
Actual Tim Coker art.
Yeah, so that should be interesting alone. But yeah, we'll be on a panel, and they're going to have actually one panel that we're going to be on, one of the ones he's planning, is all the podcasters together talking about stuff, and then each one of us get to publish that as a podcast.
That'll be a train wreck. Awesome. What could possibly get wrong with you get a, like 20 attention hogs all on one mic? That's great.
Well, nothing. Oh, by the way, the Legends of Tomorrow, the one of the DC movies on CW, Constantine has been on there lately several times. Man, he's so good on that. He makes it fun. So just to give you guys a heads up, you should watch Legends of Tomorrow if you still like Constantine or Constantine. But, he's been doing that pretty well. And, you know, all right, so let's wrap this thing up.
Ever since they started the that whole storyline with, what's her name, Zuri being on the show, I mean, ugh, blah. It's not for me.
Which one's Zuri? Oh, okay.
The one that has the amulet that basically does the same thing that the other girl with the amulet does.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what they're doing. They're chasing the six amulets right now.
Well, that's exactly what we need. We need four more people that do the exact same thing on a screen. How could that possibly be boring?
Well, one of them was actually an amulet that was held by Elvis that they had to take from him. But anyway, all right, I got to ask you, Tim. When you saw that Zuri with her amulet, did you think about Isis from back in the 70s?
No, but now that you mention it, yeah, that's, yeah.
I thought that's where they're going to go with it. I'm like, no, okay, darn.
That would have been cool. I would be down with ISIS on being on the team, but I don't know. Another person that has the exact same powers as Vixen.
Yeah. Well, that's kind
plus
of...
Plus, they just treated they treated that character as if she's instantly the fan favorite of the show. She's like, oh, let's make this all about this new character. I'm like, this character is like oatmeal. This is boring. Mm.
Well, they've kind of veered away from that in the last couple episodes, I thought. I mean, she is quite prominent in a couple scenes, but yeah.
I don't know. This kind of goes back to their Marvel had this thing for quite a number of different, heroes. The idea of a totem, like the spider totem being where Peter Parker's powers really come from. Like, that's dumb.
Yeah, that was...
No, thank you.
You know what? I'm not a fan of the totem aspect, but I do like Green Lantern's ring, and that's also a totem, so I don't know.
I don't know.
But yeah, I've been enjoying it, especially the Constantine parts. He's funny. He makes it... There's Heatwave, the guy that does the yogurt commercials, was in Prison Break. I can't think of the actor's name. I just love his role in this. It's all... a blockhead type guy, but anyway,
I do enjoy him a lot, but without Wentworth Miller to play with, kind of dull as well.
Yeah, but he takes on the fire totem. He gets it, and because he shoots flames with his gun, well, now he can shoot him with his hand. And on one of the Constantine episodes, he was sitting there holding a fireball in his hand, and Constantine pulls out a cigarette and says, "Well, you got that." Just lights a cigarette off that. I'm like, that's so cool. All right. Well, let's wrap this sucker up. We're going to be at the Indiana Toy and Comic Expo in August. We're going to get together several times. Tim, try to make it out of the house and see a movie. Eric, see something besides a DVD. And we can get back on and talk about some other things.
I saw Shape of Water.
That's true. Okay, that's true. Yeah, okay.
I was going to say, we both guarantee nothing.
Yeah. So, all right, well, let's see. Like we say, we have to let support our podcast if you want to. There's all sorts of great ways to do it. You can buy the merchandise. I've been walking around with my Nerd Up t-shirt, and people just, hey, what's that? And I have to explain it. And then at the end I say, oh, yeah, it's my podcast.
It's also guaranteed to make you 17% hotter.
I think so.
Scientists have proven.
It's true. It's 100% true.
And it cures erectile dysfunction, too, I heard. Anyway, so that's it for the Nerd Up podcast. Stay tuned. Every time we get something new to talk about, we're going to jump on and do it. And once again, I'm Gil T. Wilson. You can reach me at Gil Wilson on Twitter, and I will talk to you if you want.
I'm Eric Billingsley, and my Twitter name is at Eric Bill.
And I'm the last one, Tim Mattson, at Tim Gone Mad. No E.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Everything you have is like Tim Gone Mad, but you left off the E on every single one of them.
It's all about the branding.
I see. That makes sense. All right. Well, like we say at the end of each and every single episode of the Nerd Out podcast, stay
nerdy.